Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 645 Pod. This is a podcast to help you follow Jesus, particularly if you're part of the 645 community, but we've been hearing about a lot of others tuning in as well, so welcome if that's you. I am Anton, and I'm the 645 minister at Christchurch.
And I am Simon. I'm Anton's apprentice. I'm doing MTS at Christchurch as well.
And you are in season two of the 645 Pod, looking at living for God. And today, we're looking at...
We're looking at gifts.
Fun times.
Yeah. So giving presents and things. I love giving people presents. I'm very competitive about gift giving.
You're very good at gifts. No, we're talking about the gifts that God gives us to serve the church.
Ah, cool.
So we will get stuck into it.
Well, we are looking at gifts in this episode, and I think it's something that we kind of think about a lot in church, that people kind of have a lot of ideas and thoughts about, and there's certainly plenty of opinions on gifts out there.
Just one or two.
And I think often we can feel a little bit confused as to how to think about these things, what to think about them. You know, different denominations have pretty radically different views on gifts. And so sometimes it can leave you in a little bit of a confused mess of, I don't know what to think about gifts.
That's right. And in all this confusion, of course, the thing that we have to do is actually look at what the Bible says about gifts, rather than what is kind of out there in terms of views about gifts.
Yeah.
What exactly does the Bible say? That's what's going to be our guide for how we can live for God by using our gifts.
Yeah, great. So do we want to talk about some of those misconceptions maybe first and then
let's do that.
Go into the Bible? What are some misconceptions you think that we have about gifts?
It's fascinating that sometimes gifts can have such an elevated view in our spiritual walk that they can end up being kind of the marker of either if you're a Christian or what state of Christian you're at, like what
where you fit in the hierarchy of Christianness.
Well, kind of, and so it can be as misguided as some churches will say, well, you're not really a Christian until you've received a particular gift. Often the gift of tongues is kind of a marker of, okay, now you're really in, you know, maybe you've accepted Jesus, but it's not until you get a particular gift from the Spirit, what we would term as a supernatural gift that...
With inverted comma fingers, supernatural gift.
And because part of what we're saying is all the gifts are supernatural, even if they're quite ordinary. But not even to that extreme, we can often go, oh, he or she's got that gift. They must be a kind of super Christian.
Yeah.
Or why don't we have these type of gifts in church? Is there something that we're missing as a church community? Are we not calling on the Spirit to bless us powerfully if there's these particular gifts that are missing? And so what ends up happening is we focus on the gift and the person having the gift as opposed to what the Bible focuses on in terms of gifts.
Yeah. And I think also we can have a narrow view of how we see gifts. Like we can kind of have just a list of those inverted commas supernatural gifts and kind of think, ah, that's what spiritual gifts are and kind of just completely discount so many other things that we'll look into maybe later in this episode and just be really narrow-minded in what we think gifts are and what they aren't, which can also be really unhelpful.
That's right. Yeah.
So there's some misconceptions. The best way to bust misconceptions and myths is with the Bible. So,
because that's God speaking to us. He's the one who determines what gifts are. So we should see what he says.
Yeah, let's listen to him.
All right. Well, there's four key passages in the Bible that talk about gifts. Romans 12, 1 to 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. Ephesians 4, 7 to 16, and 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11. So they're the kind of the four main passages. Some go into great detail, some just mention it fairly briefly. And as we read through these passages, you'll see some common themes coming through and some little critiques of how we often think about gifts. And so firstly, we see that we use the term spiritual gifts a lot.
Yeah.
Assuming that they're the realm of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that is true. They are in the realm of the Holy Spirit. And so 1 Corinthians 12 says, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit as he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. So, yes, we get gifts from the Spirit.
Yeah.
But they're only called spiritual gifts once in the Bible.
Yeah.
And not in 1 Corinthians. It's actually in the Romans passage. And as we look through all the passages, you'll see that the gifts are given not just by the Spirit, but they're the work of the Father and the Son.
Mm.
So we should, probably call them Trinitarian gifts or something.
God gifts.
Yeah.
That's alliterative, so,
Might catch on. So in Ephesians 4:7, it says, but to each one of us, grace, as in the gift, has been given as Christ apportioned it.
Mm.
So we see Jesus doing the work of giving out gifts. And in Romans 12, it says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but in sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you.
Mm.
And again, faith is being used as in terms of gift there as you read through the rest of the passage. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all involved in the giving of gifts.
Yeah.
But what are the gifts for?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's no point having a gift and not knowing what to do with it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we can think that gifts are for, if we think badly, we think, oh, they're for,
yeah, for
they're
me.
For me. Yeah.
Yeah. As a sign of assurance, I guess some people think about them they're for me as I am a Christian. I know I am because I've got this gift.
Yep. Yeah. And then we can think if it's a me-centric thing, we can go, if I have that gift, then I must use it in order for me to be a full potential Christian in the church. So, hey, church, I've got this gift. Let me use it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas that's not the way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
In almost every episode, we go, it's not about me. It's actually about other people.
Yeah.
And that's the same with gifts.
Yeah.
All through, the common theme that comes through all the, or a lot of the passages about gifts is, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought.
Yeah.
Don't be proud with the gifts that God has given you.
Yeah.
There's a constant kind of takedown for anyone who's filled with pride because of a particular gift.
Mm.
Because gifts are for edification.
Yeah.
They're for the building up of other people. Mm. And so if we've been given a gift, then the goal should be that the church should be built up by it.
Yeah.
And so it says, the one in 1 Corinthians 4, the goal of it is so that the, 14, 5 is the goal is so that the church may be edified.
Mm.
Or in verse 12, so that the church, try to excel in those that build up the church.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the ultimate thing is, okay, how can I use the gifts that I have to help people grow, as we put it at Christchurch, to help people grow as wholehearted disciples of Jesus.
Yeah. And I think also in that, in these passages, but especially in the Corinthians couple of chapters, it also talks about the diversity in gifts and how important that is. So it kind of uses the classic body metaphor that every part of the body has a different function. And so, the eye shouldn't be jealous of the hand for being a hand, because if everyone were hands, then they'd be useless because we wouldn't be able to see anyone. And so kind of it really emphasizes that fact that these gifts are diverse, and that's actually what makes them wonderful. Is they are different, because that means that people can function in different ways in the church and have different parts. And then it's still like it really emphasizes that other person-centeredness, right? Because, the eye can't be concerned about just doing things for the eye because you don't help the rest of the body. But actually, you all have a function as part of the body, and that means you have to look out for the whole body and see how you function as a whole rather than as your own individual self.
Yeah, that's right. And so it takes your, you mentioned a couple of errors that we can have with gifts.
Mm.
One that we mentioned is we can think, I'm more important because I have this gift.
Yeah.
So pride is one error. The other error is envy or lack of self-importance in that, I've got this gift. I'm not as important as someone else, or why would I use this gift? It's just a small, humble little thing.
Yeah.
So you end up not using your gift for the benefit of the whole body of believers.
Mm.
So envy and pride are two things that we need to fight against. No, every gift is important.
Yeah.
Whether it's up the front and obvious or whether it's more hidden.
Yeah.
It all can be used and all are necessary to build up the body of believers.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the envy and pride thing and this discussion of the body can really fit into another problem we can have just in the church in general, but this really relates to gifts is we can feel really defined by how useful we feel in church, what the size of our contribution is or not, and really struggle to feel a part of church if we feel like we're not contributing in a meaningful way or, you know, we feel like we're not useful. And so it's a real big pitfall of these gifts is we can kind of focus on them giving us a sense of worth at church, of our contribution being where we find a sense of worth, and really losing sight of our worth being in Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of are big on our contribution in general as a society, like our own merit and earning our place and contributing is something generally that we're really big on. But I think it's something we really struggle with in church as well, really being so defined by what our contribution is, how we feel like we're being useful to church, and rather than you know, focusing on Jesus and these gifts being kind of an outworking of that faith and worth that we have in Jesus, you know, kind of putting a little bit of the cup for the horse idea, you know, we kind of focus on this as the defining factor of this is my value as a Christian because I'm contributing in this way and I have this gift, and that's yeah, really sad. I think I see it all the time. I see it in myself. You can kind of get really dejected when you feel like you're not being useful or you don't have a gift that's currently useful. And that's really sad because that's not why God has given us these gifts. It's not the focus of gifts.
Yeah, because they're different to most other gifts that we get. So, you know, if I receive a gift for a birthday or for whatever reason, you know, that gift is for me.
Yeah.
You know, if it's chocolate, it's for me to eat, or if it's Lego, it's for me to build.
Yeah.
But the gifts that God gives us are actually to be used for others. So as much as God gives it to us, we then use it for the sake of others.
Yeah. It's almost more like we should think about it as spiritual gifts as things that we give away. Like God gives them to us and we, like, they're not a gift that we keep. It's a gift that we then give.
Yeah. Which brings us back to, you know, the remarkable thing, if you read through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, 12 and 14 are the two chapters about gifts. But then in the middle, there's a whole chapter on love.
Yeah.
Basically saying, you know, if I'm mega talented or if I've got this gift or if I'm, you know, loud and out there but have not love, then me and the gift is useless.
Yeah.
You know, the whole point of gifts are to love other people.
Yeah. I think it's, we often kind of think about 13 in isolation from the chapters around it, especially because we're used to it being preached at weddings. But actually, when you read through this list of what love is and you have in your head thinking about gifts and how they function in the church, it's actually a really great antidote to a lot of these misconceptions that we have about gifts. So, you know, if I read through the list of what love is in verse 4, really think about how does this relate to gifts? How does this impact the way I think about gifts? So love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but always rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. There's just so much in that that it just flies in the face of a lot of the way we think about gifts.
Yep.
You know, if we all had this loving attitude in how we approach gifts, everything would be so different. Like we wouldn't feel little or belittled. We wouldn't envy other gifts because love doesn't envy. And I think in there is also a really big rebuke then too. If you are thinking about your gifts and it's giving you a sense of pride or you're envying other people, then you're not approaching those gifts with love. And Paul basically says there's no point in you having those gifts if you don't have this attitude.
Yeah. So, you know, the attitude is, okay, how can I use my gifts to love other people and particularly to build up others in their faith? And if you're using your gifts for that reason, then you can rejoice.
Yeah.
You know, don't get proud and think, oh, look how amazing, you know, how much better I am. But to go, wow, thank you so much, God, for giving me this gift that I can use for the growth of other people and rejoice over that.
Yeah.
But it does raise the question of, okay, what gifts are there? We can have such a focus on particular gifts listed in the Bible.
Yeah.
Which again is against the main point, which is no, use it to love whatever you've got, use it to love other people. But again, read the four passages in Corinthians, Romans, Ephesians, and 1 Peter. And as you read through, you know, there's lots of gifts mentioned through that.
Mm.
And every there's no kind of set list of gifts.
Yeah.
You know, so in the four passages, there's a couple, there's some gifts that are mentioned more than once.
Yeah.
Many that are only mentioned in the one passage. Mm. And there's no set number or anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, people and books can spend so much time, okay, here are all the gifts listed in the Bible.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, this is a defined list of spiritual gifts.
Yeah,
there's nothing
which can
outside
be devastating
this.
If you don't see yourself on that list.
Totally, yeah, yeah. And whereas I take it because there's a different list for each church that Paul's writing to. There's no, you know, they're all just representative of gifts. They're not the definitive list. And so what we see is any ability that God has given you to build up the body of Christ, that's your gift.
Mm.
So whether it is something a bit more upfront, like the gift of teaching, or whether it's something a little more hidden, like the gift of encouragement.
Mm. Or administration.
Or administration.
Those administrative
Absolutely.
People.
You know, that's not going to be up the front and glossy, but vital for the running of our church.
Mm.
And so rather than go, okay, which gift do I have? And then the other thing that people try and do is go, okay, here's the list of gifts. What does each of those gifts look like?
Mm.
So what do tongues particularly look like? What does prophecy particularly look like? What does administration look like according to what's in the Bible?
Yeah.
And the issue is we're not told.
Yeah.
We're really not told.
Yeah, they are very undefined lists.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, there are examples of, there are examples of some things that may relate to that, but tongues is often the confusing one. You've got the example in Acts chapter 2 where when the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples for the first time, they, you know, tongues of fire come down and then all of a sudden they speak in different tongues.
Mm.
But actually those tongues are different human languages. So they're not a special God language thing. They're just, you know, someone who was from Israel can suddenly speak Greek or Macedonian or something.
Man, I wish I could just suddenly speak Greek. Oh. Go away. Great, my Greek exams.
That's right. So, you know, is tongues a gift of different languages, or is it a God language thing? Now, I personally think that there is a God language thing that's out there, but that's not. But we don't know exactly what Paul is referring to.
Yeah.
Same with prophecy. Prophecy is really difficult to.
Yeah.
to
that's
define.
A whole couple of episodes we could do on the pod.
That's right. Yeah. And Nigel talked about it a bit last time. A lot of people think it's some sort of kind of fortune telling thing from God, like the prophets were given in the Old Testament, for example. Whereas it looks like prophecy is more a word of encouragement or a word of edification said publicly.
Yeah.
That's more what it looks like. But again, we can't be 100% certain that this is exactly, you know, a thing that you have may exactly line up with one of the lists.
Mm.
But again, I don't think that's particularly relevant because the lists are just representative.
Yeah.
So anything that you have that can build up the body of Christ, whether directly in terms of sharing God's word with people or indirectly in facilitating that, use it to build up the church. Mm. Use it as an act of love for other people.
So I guess what's important then in thinking about it is not the specifics and the details, but rather the purpose. And I think that's what you see in all of those passages they go really hard on is the purpose for the gifts.
Yeah, that's right.
Not necessarily what they are, you know, purpose for building up and serving. And that's what you should be focusing on when you're thinking about gifts.
Totally. And so if you look at the list and you're not on the list, you know, you don't have a gift that's on the list. Again, don't be discouraged. Okay, what do you have? So, for example, the people who've got gifts in video editing, they're such a treasure at this point in time for helping God's word go out to God's people.
Yeah.
That's not on the list, for example.
Yeah.
And so use that gift, you know, get in touch with our tech team and use that gift for God's glory. Or if it's, you know, if it is cooking or if it is, you know, I've got a friend who just wrote cards to people constantly and was such an encourager of others.
Mm.
that whatever you've got, use it to love others and build them up in Christ.
And so another thing that we often think about, and that sometimes I find a bit confusing when we're thinking about gifts, is what's sort of the difference between gifts and talent? So, you know, I could be naturally talented at baking, and that's something that, you know, non-Christians, they can be talented at things. What's the difference in how we should think about talents and gifts? Is there a difference? What do you think?
Yeah, so I think what we can assume about spiritual gifts is because they're given to us by God, it must be something that I wouldn't be able to do unless God gave it to me.
Yeah.
So if I, you know, something like working miracles.
Yeah.
I obviously can't do that on my own. But if God gave me that work of working miracles, okay, that's obviously a spiritual gift.
Yeah.
Whereas when you look at the list of gifts, then, you know, some of them seem very ordinary and something that a lot of people have, you know, in the Romans passage, things like serving, encouraging, giving generously, leading, showing mercy. They're fairly everyday things that kind of a lot of people can do. And so I think there's not a gifts category, which is supernaturally given.
Yeah.
And then there's a talent category, which
is just ordinary,
or I've been able to acquire myself. Yeah. So my talent in singing, I've worked on that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and so I can, is that a talent or is it a gift?
Yeah.
Well, what are gifts for? Gifts are for loving others and building others up in the faith. And so gifts aren't necessarily defined on, okay, this is from God and not from me. Mm. It's more defined in terms of, can I use it for the edification of God's people?
Yeah.
So if you're a drummer, for example, you might use that in a rock band and, you know, that's not necessarily building up God's people, you know, just using it, or, you know, you might be a session drummer and that's your job.
Yeah.
But when you use it for, so, you know, in church, when we get back to church, or on the recording, when you use it so that God's people can sing God's praise, that's where you're using it as a gift from God in order to build up God's people.
Yeah. And I think in some ways that's kind of where the spiritual aspect of spiritual gifts comes from, because we can't do things to please God, to serve others without God's spirit. Mm-hmm. And so anything like it's not possible for us to do that, right? Without, you know, you can't say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, that's in 1 Corinthians 12. And so kind of that spiritual side of it is the spirit enables us to be able to do these things humbly, to serve others, to build up God's church, because without God's spirit, we wouldn't be able to do that.
That's right.
Right. Well, we've had a good discussion about gifts, what they are, the pitfalls, some of the problems. But maybe it'd be good to end this discussion on a segment that we introduced a few weeks ago called Look What You Made Me Do, where we kind of try and think about really practically what are some things that we can do in this area to help us live for God.
That's right. And so I've got a few questions that might just help you think through, okay, how can you use what God has given you to serve the body of Christ? And so anyway, here's some questions to think through. Firstly, how has God wired you? You know, are you a structured person, or are you an unstructured person? Are you a people person, or are you a task person? Or, you know, you may have elements of both. Are you more hands-on, or are you more creative? You know, think about, okay, how has God wired you? You know, and then think, okay, what are you good at? Or even what you like doing?
Yeah.
Or what you're passionate about? They're kind of things that will help get you thinking about, okay, how could I, what could I do?
Yeah, what might it
for
look
God's
like?
People? And then, so there's kind of, okay, you as a person, but then what skills or training or experience do you have? You know, either, you know, you might have had training at church, but you might have had some office, you know, at work training.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might have great skills in people management that you learned from work.
Yeah.
Or you might have great skills of administration that you learned from work. You know, what skills have you got that you can use for God's glory? And then go, okay, is there something that you've seen at church? And again, you may need to be a bit more creative.
Yeah.
Because church is different to what it used to be.
Yeah.
Is there anything you've seen at church, or is there something that you've seen other people do, or is there, you can use your imagination to go, okay, could I be a part of that?
Yeah.
Could I contribute in this way based on how God has made me and wired me and what God has equipped me to do?
Yeah.
And what I like doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I use that in some way for God's people or to further God's kingdom? and then think about, okay, you know, God, what has God given you? Like in terms of, not just in terms of ability, but availability, you know, how much time do you have and when is that time free? How much, you know, has he given you things that you can be generous in, either skills, but also resources or money or computers or something, you know?
Yeah.
What have you been given that you can use?
Yeah.
And what capacity do you have to use them?
Mm.
Think about that and go, oh, okay. Think, what have I got to give? And then go, okay, but you have to filter that through. What does the church need?
Yeah.
So it's very well to think, okay, I've got this gift, I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
But no, actually, it's got to be effective in building God's people.
Yeah.
And for any church, it needs to be part of the vision and mission of what our particular church is on about. And so how can it be used to that end?
Mm.
And so sometimes your gifts may not be used in a particular season.
Yeah.
But in another season, they might be really, really worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some helpful questions to think through and to think about how to serve. I think also what's really helpful is reading through 1 Corinthians 13 and thinking about really practically, what does this look like for me to love the church?
Yep.
I find that really helpful to kind of just read through that list of what love looks like and then go, okay, I've got this picture of love. What will it look like for me to love the church? And, you know, use those questions that you were just asking in terms of figuring out the shape of that.
Mm-hmm. Because you need to have your heart ready to know that, okay, gifts are not, God hasn't given them for me.
Yeah.
He's given them so that I can use them to love others and to build up the church.
Yeah.
All right, it is blank space time. The Bible trivia book is all ready to go.
Yeah, Anton's favorite segment.
Look, is it my favorite?
It's your weekly ego boost, I guess.
Look, if God has given me the gift of trivia, it's for the good of others, not just for me. Yes, the scoreboard would reflect that, wouldn't it? With me on 9 and you on 4. Come on, Simon. All right, Numbers is the, not the book of Numbers, but, you know, Numbers in the Bible. For how many months did this is not going to help you get any points.
Can I just get the answer for free then if you mess up asking the question?
All right, try again. For how many months did It's going to start losing points in there. For how many months did Elizabeth stay in seclusion when she realized she was pregnant?
Ooh. I mean, it will be a stab in the dark.
Give you a hint, it'll be 9 or less.
Yeah, look, I've got a 1 in 9 chance of getting the answer right. I kind of want to say 3, but I feel like that seems long. I'm going to go 3.
I was so convinced you were going to get that, but it's not correct.
What was it?
5.
Why were you convinced I would get that?
I nearly said it. I was like, I'm sure you're going to get this right. But anyway.
In which year of his reign did King Xerxes give a banquet for all his nobles and officials?
Oh, no. Daniel, I'm assuming. Is that right? Stab in the dark. 5th year.
3rd.
We were the wrong way around.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, Esther, of course. Yeah. No, I was confused with Belteshazzar and Daniel.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Job's friends were told by God to sacrifice blank bulls and rams.
Oh, come on. I hate numbers round. It's so hard. I feel like it's going to be 3, 6, or 12, or 7. I'm going to say 12.
It was one of those numbers.
It was 6. It was 6. Was it 6?
It was 7.
Ah, damn it.
So I've had odd numbers so far. So
yeah,
there we go.
That's true. How long did the Ark of God remain in the house of Obed-Edom?
Oh, no. I have read this really recently. These have been very hard this week, can I say that?
These have been really hard questions.
I don't even know if it's years or months. I feel like it was quite a while. Stick to the odd numbers. 3 years.
If only you had said months. It was three months.
Oh, no. Well, what a round, people.
That was a very blank space.
Oh, goodness.
I could have got 7. That was a logical guess.
Yep.
That was the closest to any of us being close to getting a point this round.
That's right. I think that was the one to get, Simon. And no. So... Score set. Stay at 9-4.
Yep. Blank Let's space. See how long we can keep it at 9-4. All right, well, thanks for joining us for another episode of the 645 Pod. We hope that was really helpful for you to think about what it looks like to use what gifts God has given you to serve the church and to hopefully maybe bust some myths about how we think about gifts. Yeah, next week, what are we thinking about, Anton?
We are thinking about, oh, just a small topic. Emotions in living for God.
Yeah, real small topic.
Real small. No, should be very straightforward.
Yeah. Have to have a lot of thinking and I guess feeling about it.
Yeah, we do thinking for emotions.
Yeah, how are we going to navigate that one? That'll be weird.
Yeah.
Find out next week.
Find out. Yes, join us again.
Subscribe on whatever pod platform you use. Like us on Facebook because we post up there every week. When the episode drops, join us for 645 Church. If not, you will hear our voices and our banter next week as we talk about emotions.
That's right. Oh, and there's fun things coming up for 645 Church in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, so true.
Look out for that when you tune in at 645 every Sunday.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.